Welcome to the second week of the Touchdown Tom Show. We just got done with week 6 of the Arena Football League season. A very surprising week, a lot of upsets. We got a lot of great guests today. We got Jason Fife of the Las Vegas Gladiators, Carl Bond of the Columbus Destroyers, Damian Gross of the Arizona Rattlers. We got some good guests, so stay tuned. Listen up. We also got Kevin Kaser, head of the Cincinnati Bengals. Stay tuned.
I bet he's totally studly and buff.
With a voice like that, man, he's got to be a big magnet.
Alright, that was B. Arthur, the official music of the Touchdown Tom Show. If you want to find out more, go to myspace.com/B. Arthur. That's B-E-A-R-T-H-U-R. For those of you who listened last week, you know I don't like to waste time during the show. We'll get an interview right off the bat. Yesterday I sat down with Damian Gross of the Arizona Rattlers. Here's what he had to say. Please note that my equipment is still down, so I'm using my tape recorder and playing it into my microphone rather than my regular phone tab, which I used during the 2004 season when I had guests such as Kurt Warner and Adrian McPherson on the show. Maybe next week we'll have the right equipment working, but for now, bear with me. Interviews are still clear enough to hear.
We're joined now by Damian Gross of the Arizona Rattlers. First of all, Damian, that's a big win you guys had this week over Nashville. Want to talk a little bit about that?
Arizona. that was going to happen because the owners and everybody was, you know, it was planning to come back next year. When they showed at home after the season, when they called, said they wasn't coming to anymore.
Now you put up a couple of quarterbacks that are kind of breaking out in the league this year, and well, first of all, last year with Matt Nagy, a guy you've played with before. Were you surprised at all by Matt's breakthrough last year? With Matt Nagy, were you surprised with his breakthrough last year with Georgia?
Oh no, I know Nagy was a great quarterback in Carolina. You know, I think it's all about, you know, the right situation for you.
Moving right along, don't want to waste any more time. I also sat down with Carl Bond of the Columbus Destroyers. After Carl, we'll make my picks for the week. Me and Tim Capper from AFL Tonight, we pick every week against the Magic 8-Ball, and we're getting our asses kicked by an inanimate object. Well, Tim a little bit more than myself, but I'm still getting my ass handed to me. Either way, there's been rumors that the 8-Ball is in fact on the IR. Those are not true, unfortunately. So I'll make my predictions later coming up after this interview with Carl Bond.
I'm joined now by Carl Bond of the Columbus Destroyers. Carl, was a big win over New York this week. You want to talk about it?
Well, it was something that was very much needed by our team. We were struggling a little bit. We just came off a win, and we just needed something to keep us going.
You talk about keep going. You got a big game against Georgia this week. What do you think about that matchup?
They're a pretty good team. They're defending conference champs, and, you know, we feel if we keep this thing rolling, you know, the only thing that can stop us is ourselves.
How capable of beating Georgia do you think your team is?
I think we're very capable of beating. I mean, we have a veteran team. You know, when you look at our roster, we only have probably one rookie, maybe two playing, so this team understands the situation we're in and what we have to do to keep this thing going, so I'm very confident in our chance of winning this game.
Now, last year, you played for the Voodoo, and how are the fans in New Orleans?
They were great. They loved us down there. I mean, that was a great thing, and, you know, I'm hoping it goes back for that city next year, you know, because they really loved the New Orleans Voodoo down there.
Mm-hmm. So you think New Orleans is a great market for arena football?
Oh, man. I mean, I think, what, we averaged 15,000 last year, or 14,000, and, I mean, you know, we would go out and people would know who we were, and, you know, all they would want to talk about is the New Orleans Voodoo, and they enjoy going to the games, and they hope we win. They're glad we're winning. It was just a
compared to the last year?
Last year was, you know, in the last couple of years, I've been through trials and tribulations, and last year was no different, but, you know, with me not starting right away the whole season. But it ended up being a pretty decent year for me. I got a lot of opportunities, and I tried to make the best of those opportunities, and when it came, when my number was called, I just tried to answer as best as I could.
Mm-hmm. You worked up with a familiar teammate, Andy Kelly, who you played with in Detroit. 2004, did that make the transition easier?
I mean, it's always great when you have a quarterback or someone you play with, especially a quarterback, I should say, because, you know, he knows the type of things you do. You know, he can see in your routes, you know, when you're going to break it off or how you're going to break the man down or where you're going to sit at in the zone. It's just that, you know, working with somebody, you gain that trust, and it's always an advantage to have someone like that, especially him being a great quarterback on your side.
You want to talk a little bit about playing in Detroit in 2004, what that season was like for you?
it was a rough season. Although I had a good year personally, it was a rough season because, you know, we started off okay. We started off okay, we played 500 ball, and then all of a sudden we went on a 7-8 game losing streak. And that was just frustrating because it wasn't like we were getting blown out. You know, we were losing by 2 points, 6 points, 1 point, 3 points. We lost an overtime to Indianapolis. So that was, for me, that was a whole new experience because it was just, you couldn't put your finger on one thing and be like, everything will go well. Something would happen and it just, you would lose the game.
Do you think you're finally stepping up as a premier playmaker in this league?
See, for me, I've always thought I was playing in this league. It's just the opportunities you get, you know. I feel for myself that, you know, when I get the opportunities, I would like to think that I'm not going to let the team down if I have the opportunity. And, you know, over my career, that's what I pride myself on. And when I get my chance, I'm not going to let this team down. And, you know, the chances I've got, I've made the most of them, and I'm just trying to improve on that each year. And I just think that, you know, this year, hopefully I can keep that going and make it even better.
Now, in 2000, you played in the AS2. What was that like?
That was sort of like the full Durham experience. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I think, you know, if someone's a little on the line on what they want to do with their career or something, that was one of the best experiences of my life because, you know, you're not making a whole lot of money, but yet, you know, you are really playing it because you want to play the game and either better yourself or you want to get it out of your system so you won't play anymore. But, you know, you're working with the bare necessities, and I happen to be in a great football town in Tallahassee. Love football, so, you know, it was almost, you know, for that franchise, it was almost like, you know, we were Florida State or anything because people loved us just as much as the school Florida State or FAMU in the area.
Mm-hmm. How big of a drop-off is there in talent from the AFL to the AF2?
Over the years, from when I played, over the years, I see the gap getting wider,
mm-hmm.
You know, at certain positions because, you know, with the expansion of teams in AF1, and with a lot of guys from the NFL coming over to arena now, it's becoming a bigger gap, but at the same time, you are finding a lot of diamonds in the rough in arena 2. You know, it's just, you know, some guys aren't playing arena 2, you know, and those guys have a lot of talent also. Some guys will go play or get released from a camp in arena 1 and won't play arena 2. They'll wait till next year, so I'm finding that that's happened a little bit in the last couple of years.
Now, you're reunited this year with your former offensive coordinator from New Orleans and Ken Metos.
Ken Metos, yeah, he's a special teams coach.
Yeah, you want to talk a little bit about playing with him, playing for him?
It's great. I mean, like I said, I also played for Doug Kane. He was my first head coach when I was in Carolina. We were all together in Carolina. And, I mean, it's not a drop-off at all. You know, we basically picked up right where we left off, you know. He knew what I can do, and when he brought me in here, he said, I'm not worried about you picking up the offense or anything because I know you'll know it, and, you know, it's not missing a beat. It's just maybe getting the kinks Donald's getting his game shape, and that's it.
No, you went to Connecticut for college. Were your teammates with Shane Stafford there?
Yeah, that was my roommate also.
He's your roommate? Yeah. Are you surprised at all the success he's had?
No. Shane, in my mind, and a lot of people's mind who know him, he's always been one of the best quarterbacks in the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, around, it's just, you know, you're shocked at the timing of everything, you know. What he's doing now, I mean, he's always been able to do. It just has to come to light, and that's what's happening for him now. I'm so happy for him. I talk to him every week, you know, once or twice a week, and it's just great what's going on with him, and maybe one day we'll be able to reunite, but we'll see.
Yeah. Did you see the shot he made last year in that basketball game?
Yeah, I called him as soon as he did. I was actually supposed to be down there that weekend.
Yeah.
And I went down to Denver the following weekend, but I saw on ESPN, and I talked to him that night about it.
Were you surprised by that one?
Not at all, because, you know, they do a drill with dropping it in the bucket all the time. I mean, only surprising thing might be is it was his first shot.
Yeah.
First and only, you got one shot in front of all those people, but other than that, I'm not surprised at it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to play a little bit of name association. I'm going to say a name, and you tell me a little bit about that person. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, John Kaleo.
John Kaleo, veteran guy, knows the game, very competitive guy, and I'm glad to be playing with him because I'm learning the other things in the game, and he's just good to be playing with.
Okay,
he's a very, can I say, he's a very hard-nosed guy, but honestly, he's a very straight-up guy. You know, you always know where you stand with Coach K. And that's a good thing, you know. He doesn't sugarcoat anything, and he always wants the best for you and his team. And, you know, he'll let you know this is where you stand, this is what we need to do. This is how we're going to do it to win. And you can always appreciate that from a coach.
Gerald Brown,
playmaker.
Playmaker.
He's just a playmaker. He's a good friend, he's a playmaker, and he understands the game very well, and he sets his goals high, and he does what he has to do to attain them.
Alright, Tabidi Davis?
Another playmaker. Another hard-nosed guy who works and is just very physical and just has... He just... Oh, man. There's a lot of words in strong. He just knows how to push his body to the limits. He has one of the highest peeing thresholds I've ever seen on a person. And I don't know how he does it sometimes, but he's a very hard-nosed guy.
Now, you want to talk a little bit about the fans in Columbus, what they're like?
You know what? I will equate the fans in Columbus to probably a New Orleans fan.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say the difference in the New Orleans fans, and this is because, you know, the Saints haven't done too well in the last couple of years, and they were really hungry for a winning team, and, you know, the New Orleans was the answer. But in the other sense, where Columbus is, you know, you have Ohio State, and they win, and they win, and they win. And, you know, with Columbus, they want that. They love football.
Right.
It's a football state. It's a small town, and they just love their football. So anything about football, they're all into it. And I know, I understand the last couple of years Columbus didn't do too well, but the fans are still there because it's football, and they know in Columbus it will turn around.
Now, do you feel that this team finally has the kinks worked out, and it's headed in the right direction now?
I think we're headed in the right direction. I wouldn't say we have worked out because, you know, it's always a work in progress, but we have worked some things out. We still have more to work out, and, you know, hopefully, once we get them worked out, I think, man, the sky's the limit with this team.
Hey, thank you for joining me, Kyle Bond of the Columbus Destroyers.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, there's Carl Bond of the Columbus Destroyers. A good interview. He's a good guy. I'm going to make my picks for this week. As I mentioned before the interview with Carl Bond, we have a little bit of a thing going. Me and Tim Capper and an 8-ball. All right, so I'm going to make my picks for this week. I got Georgia versus Columbus. In Columbus, I'm going to take Georgia. Colorado, Chicago. I'm taking Colorado. I think they're going to win big. Orlando, Arizona. I'm taking Orlando. I don't know how much they're going to miss Jimmy Frizzell, but we're going to find out this week. Nashville versus Utah. I'm going to take Nashville in the way they get embarrassed by a West opponent 2 weeks in a row. Grand Rapids, Las Vegas. I'm going to take Las Vegas, even though I do like Grand Rapids. I still think Jason Fife's going to have a big game this week. Dallas and Tampa Bay, the game of the week. I'm taking Dallas. Nobody's stopping Clint Dozell this year. He's going balls to the wall. He's great season. Then we have New York and Austin taking the Wranglers. What a team they are, just all around. Their entire team, from Fitzgerald to Cedric Robinson, they got everything. L.A., San Jose. Last week, Mark Grebe finally looked like the Mark Grebe of old. I'm taking San Jose in that one. Philly, Kansas City. I'm going to take Kansas City at home. I think they're due for a win. Andy Kelly can only take so much losing. I'm telling you, it's going to be a good game. I think Kansas City's going to take it. You heard it here first. And now this week I had the privilege of sitting down with a young guy, quarterback for the Las Vegas Gladiators, Jason Fife. He played a game and named that teammate. How did he do? Last week Matt Nagy scored 5 for 5 in the first edition of Name Your Teammate. So I sat down yesterday with Jason Fife, rookie quarterback for the Las Vegas Gladiators. Let's see how he did.
he's a good guy. He's one of those coaches that you can trust right out the gates. He's a good motivator, I think. He's very precise in what he does, and he doesn't beat around the bush. You know, he's going to tell you up front what you either need to do to compete and get better, or he's not going to stick around with you. So it's been real refreshing having a coach like that, because sometimes they'll beat around the bush and they won't give you a straight answer, but he's definitely been one you can trust.
How do you get involved with the Gladiators?
When I got back from NFL Europe last year, I got cut by the Vikings, and so my agent asked me if I was interested in doing either the CFL or AFL.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I don't really want to go to Canada, but I'll try Arena, I guess, if anybody's interested.
Mm-hmm.
Not thinking that anything was going to come of it, and he said that Vegas called back and wanted me to come try out. Did well in the tryout, and here I am.
Yeah. Did you think you'd be starting this quick?
Really didn't. I really thought that best case scenario, I'd be getting a shot a year after I started.
Right.
With the team. So this has been a pretty pleasant surprise for me.
Do you plan on making it back to the NFL?
Yeah, I'm not going to discount anything. I'd love to, but realistically, I'm thinking that it might not happen just because it's so hard to break back in. But like anybody else would say, I think, I'd love to play for the NFL.
Now, I'm gonna throw out a couple names out there. You let me know what you think of this player, Marcus Nash.
Phenomenal athlete. He gets it done week in and week out.
Coco Blaylock.
He'll go 100% practice, walk through, game, doesn't matter. He'll dominate whatever it takes.
Joe Douglas.
Joe Douglas is a man. He gets it done better than anybody else can, I think.
Alright, we're going to play a little game now. We did with Matt Nagy of the Georgia Force last week. It's called How Well Do You Know Your Teammates?
Oh, no.
How well do you think you know them?
I'm trying to get it on better. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pick up on some of the more obscure questions, but hopefully I can.
Yeah, I'll start off with a couple easy ones. We got 5 questions. First one, this guy doubled for Nelly in any given Sunday.
I'll be Coco Blaylock.
That's an easy one. This guy played in 123 NFL games with 43 sacks.
43 sacks. One of those moments.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
All right. This guy was a first team All American at Montana.
Montana. Division is concerned, we just want to make sure that we're winning games week by week. And then once we get to those division games, yeah, sure, they're important, but by winning everything else, we'll be that much more prepared for those division games.
So I guess it's kind of too early to ask if you think your team's ready for the Iron Bowl.
It's a long season, and we've definitely improved, especially the last couple weeks, but you know, to say that we're ready for the Arena Bowl today probably isn't the case. We need to start getting things squared away a little bit more and getting used to each other out there on the field. I think we're going to be all right.
Great. That was Jason Fife of the Las Vegas Gladiators, first-year quarterback. Jason, thank you for joining us today.
No problem.
All right, thank you.
Hey, that was Jason Fife of the Las Vegas Gladiators. Good interview. We heard he was an actor when he was little. He played a camper in Adam's Family Values. Now I'm trying to see if he could stay around with the Las Vegas Gladiators. Last week it looked like he had what it took. He stood in there, made some tough throws. His team really carried the victory. They deserved every ounce of that victory over Philadelphia. They just outplayed them, outworked them. Field was wet. Get over it. It was his first game in their history where they had a wet surface. It's not like it happens every week. The venue could be better, yes. But we'll see. Some people are saying the Arena Bowl shouldn't be there anymore. That's open for debate. And we'll see what happens as the weeks go on. Now we're going to play a little interview. I sat down with Kevin Casebehaar of the Cincinnati Bengals. He was an Iowa Barnstormer from 1999 and 2000. Picked off 23 passes. 23. He's going to talk about a little bit about his days in the AFL. He's going to talk about a celebration done by Carlos James, along with he's going to talk about Chad Johnson, his time that he has spent. He's now a 5-year veteran of the Bengals. After Iowa, he went and played for San Francisco of the XFL. So he's had a nice little career. Sat down to talk about it. Again, I apologize. The interview isn't of the highest quality. We'll make it up for you when we get the right equipment back on track. Get some good guests again. Maybe we'll try to get Kurt Warner back on here. We'll see. But here's Kevin Casebehaar of the Cincinnati Bengals interview from yesterday.
I'm joined now by Kevin Casebehaar of the Cincinnati Bengals. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're in life in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I am. Things have been good for me. God bless me. And I can't complain where I'm at right now. Down the side of the pants, and I remember one time he scored. shooting up and you have this fight.
Yeah.
And you crash. So it was something like that, you know, you can maybe try and compete with, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now you picked off some pretty big named quarterbacks in the NFL, Dante Culpepper, Mark Brunell. You want to talk a little bit about what something like that's like?
Oh, man. Anytime you get interception, it comes here, no matter what league you're in, if you just back, you just, there's something about it, you know, it's like, it's hard to explain the feeling you get, but as far as intercepting those guys like, that you mentioned, it's been a lot of fun. I think just remember watching those guys on TV when I was playing in the arena league and just hoping for a chance to be on the same field as them, but to actually be on the same field and pick them up, it's been a thrill, so. Try and cherish the moment because I know it's not going to last forever, but hopefully there's more to come in the future.
What's been in your opinion, your best play since you've been on the Bengals?
My best play? Oh, man. I guess, you know, scoring my first touchdown just kind of in my neck, kind of being around the ball, and it was a fumble recovery where I took in for a touchdown against Cleveland a couple years ago, and touchdown in the NFL, so I guess that would have to be the one.
Now, in your two seasons with the Barnstormers, you picked off, 23 passes?
Yeah.
Seemed to be you were all over the field. You want to talk about how natural the arena game came to you?
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I don't know if, you know, I think it's a combination of different things. For one, we had a good team, and that always helps, because a lot of times, the guys up front don't get the credit that we might get in the back, because the pressure that they put on the quarterback at the time really made my job in the back end really easy, and it forced those guys to throw up some bad balls, which made some of those interceptions pretty easy as well. Now, I'm not going to say that I earned some of those myself too, but it's just, I think, I felt like I had pretty good range, you know, and being that the field was a little bit smaller, it allowed me to get to certain spots that I maybe not have been able to get to on a bigger field, so I try to play to the fours as well. You know, I try to force a receiver to throw one way, knowing that he's more than likely to break that way, which would allow me to get a better break on the ball and his route. So it was little things like that that I picked up on quickly. And just going up against guys like Kevin Swain, Mike Krawcheck, you know, we have really good receivers every day that we put up against in practice, which made my job that much easier on game day. So it was a combination of a bunch of things.
How did you get involved in the arena game?
Well, I just, my head coach in college played for John Gregory back when he was coaching at Texas State University, and he called him up and said, I got the pleasure that he wants to try out for the team, and I really wanted to continue to play after college, and I missed the game, so I gave him a call, and I worked out for him, and, you know, ended up making the team. Here I am today, playing in the NFL.
Saturday.
As a kid, you know, you dream about it. So I guess I did imagine it. You didn't really think that it was going to happen. It's hard to say, you know. I always got a plan B in place, but I've been pretty fortunate. Like I said, I've been blessed to be where I'm at and very appreciative to be able to do
it. You talked about the one you played in the XFL for the San Francisco Demons. Now, what made you want to play in the XFL rather than the AFL here?
You know, that was another transition for me where I thought maybe trying this league and get some film, playing a little bit different type of competition, showing what I can do back out on the big field, give me an opportunity to play the NFL. And that was one of the big reasons why I decided to play the XFL. That was also, I think, a couple of other guys on the team played, like Kevin Swain, and, you know, he convinced me to try out, so I went for it. Things kind of worked out in my favor.
How much of a relationship do you still have with those guys, Kevin Swain and Mike Krawcheck, Aaron Garcia?
You know, I don't talk to them that much. I follow them on TV, like AG, I check him out, see how he's doing. I talked to Kevin Swain a couple times when we played each other when he was with the Jets. As of late, I haven't heard much from him. You know, we all kind of go for separate ways. You know, you got families, you got to deal with. They're busy during their season. I'm very busy during my season. So I'll have to catch up with those guys sometimes.
Now, what were your thoughts on the Barnstormers leaving Iowa?
I was kind of disappointed because I thought the fan base in Des Moines was great. You know, they were. It was really unique. We always can't miss
versatility you have and how much you think that helps the coaches.
Yeah, like you said, I play both corners. I play strong, I play free safety. And I think that's one of the reasons that I've been able to play for 5 years now in the NFL, the ability to do all those things. I knew that the more I could do, the better off I was going to be. And I felt like athletically I was capable of doing all those things. It's just whether or not people would have the faith in me to go out there and do it during crunch time. And I think I've had the chance now to prove to them that I was able to do that. So it's been a transition. As a corner, you get challenged a lot more. You know, as a free safety, you got to come up, you got to be thoughtful a bit more, you got to think a little bit more, you know, make more physical plays. So it's been a transition for me too, mentally, because as a corner, you're more one-on-one with guys. You study tape, you're studying receivers more so than game plan and how to try to attack you. And as a safety, you're kind of the quarterback back there, and you got to see the whole picture. You know, it's not necessarily reading guys' routes or studying their routes on tape. So it's a little bit different, but I think as a whole, it's helped me grow as a player.
Now, for those of you who haven't seen Kevin, he's a little bit similar to Keanu Reeves in his looks. How often do you get that?
Oh, I get it all the time. During the Arena days, I would come back during in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, to teach. And all the time, every camp would say, you know, you look like Keanu Reeves. I'm like, yeah. Can you do that trick? You know, that one move where you just dodge the ball. So every time I go, I mean, I teach kids from elementary school, but a lot of kids wanted me to talk like Dylan said, like for a bench. They wanted me to do all kinds of stuff. So I just heard it all the time. It's fun. If I ever need a job, maybe I can do a stunt double. I don't know. We'll see.
Have you ever been offered?
No, not yet.
Spread any cards in the replacements. Football movement, too.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule. Kevin Kanzler, out of the Cincinnati Bengals, former Iowa Barnstormer. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Right, it's time now to talk about the Touchdown Inc. Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week.
Who are these people?
The Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week are selected every week by myself, Tim Capper of AFL Tonight. Tim hosted the original Arena Fan Radio show with me. Fran from Arena Fan Radio, or from Arena Zone, he also picks. And John Hondo Han from SanJoseSabercats.com, the former vice president of the Houston Thunder Bears, good friend. He also is in the selection committee. Touchdown Inc. is a website run by myself. We cover the Arena Football League, the Canadian Football League, NFL Europe, the National Football League, and NCAA football. Check it out, www.touchdowninc.com. All right, so here they are. On offense, we had John Dutton. John Dutton completed 19 of 23 passes for 283 yards and 8 touchdowns. Candidates for the award were offensive specialist from Colorado, Damian Harrell. He caught 9 passes, 149 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Carl Bond, who we just heard on the show today, 9 receptions, 190 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Clint Dozell of Dallas, 25 of 32, 221 yards, 5 touchdowns. Damian Gross, also on today's show, Arizona Rattlers, 9 receptions, 94 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Mark Grebe of the Sabercats. Like I said, finally looking like the Mark Grebe of old. 25 of 34, 298 and 8 touchdowns. Shane Stafford of Tampa Bay was 22 of 38, 256 yards, 4 touchdown passes, 3 rushing touchdowns. Those are the Offensive Player of the Week candidates, and John Dutton, like I said, won the award. The Defensive Player of the Week was Cleavan Thomas of the San Jose Sabercats. He had 6 total tackles, interception, and a forced fumble in the Sabercats 65-50 victory over Utah. Other candidates were Colston Weatherington of Dallas. He had 2 sacks and a forced fumble. For anybody who watched the game, he put that nasty hit on Matt D'Orazio. D'Orazio didn't even look like he knew what was going on. He just stood there in the pocket. You can't do that in this league. Joe Douglas of the Las Vegas Gladiators had a 47-yard interception return for a touchdown. He was also nominated for the award. Randy Gatewood of the Arizona Rattlers had 2 interceptions. B.J. Barr of the Columbus Destroyers had 7 total tackles and 2 interceptions. Jory Johnson of the Orlando Predators had 8 total tackles, 2 passes defended, And an interception. Again, offensive player of the week was John Dutton, Colorado. Defensive was Cleveland Thomas of the San Jose Sabrecats. I'd like to talk a little bit about the situation in Orlando with Jimmy Frizzell being diagnosed with diabetes. It was a tough break for Orlando. They have no timetable on when he's going to return, but I don't know what their answer is for now. He's really their big spark that they have. They said he lost 11 pounds this year, and just hope he gets better. Talk a little bit about the situation in Las Vegas, too. I mean, it's just one time. It's not like the field's been wet every week. Everybody needs to get over it. It's just one game. It's not going to happen every week. If it does, then we'll talk about it being a crisis. But as for right now, it just happened once. Don't forget to listen to AFL Tonight, hosted by Tim. And you can also listen to Fran's excellent show, Arena Zone, on the Arena Fan Radio Network. Tim is on Tuesdays. Fran is on Wednesdays. I'm sorry about that. Both great shows. Fran's 2 hours on Wednesdays. I'm sure everybody listens to that. Everybody goes in the chat room and has themselves a good time. Tim, was my former co-host on Arena Fan Radio in 2001. Where I got started. I'm glad to be back on the Arena Fan Radio family. Arena Fan in general. Who doesn't go to Arena Fan every day? Come on. If you listen to this show, you go to Arena Fan every day. And that's just how it is. I also want to talk a little bit about guests on the show. If there's anybody specific that the fans want to hear, log on the internet and send me an email. touchdowntomando@AOL.com, and we'll try to get him on the show. Usually aren't any problems in getting people on the show, so any particular player, coach, you can even try to get someone from the front office is on the show. We'll see. Just shoot me an email, touchdowntomando@AOL.com. I also want to thank B. Arthur once again for providing music for the show. More information on that, myspace.com/BEARTHUR. It's a good band. Go check them out. Kind of running out of time here. A little short today's show is. Short on time this week. Join us again next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll have another great show. More great guests. You choose. Who do you want to see on the show? Shoot me an email. We'll find out. Until next week, take care.